Duffy's Beer, and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our specials at duffysbeer.com. Duffy's has an amazing selection of craft and local beers, including some hard-to-find brews. They're also fully stocked on the supplies you need to make your own craft brew, over 40 varieties of hops and grains as well, and 30 varieties of yeast. Whether you're just starting out or you're an experienced brewer, Duffy's has you covered. Duffy's Beer and much more. Online at duffysbeer.com.
Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
The Trip Live Radio Triple Threat.
He wants three. You know that's a trip, triple.
And Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz right here on Trip Live Radio.
We're always commercial free in the 10 a.m. hour on Trip Live Radio, brought to you by Duffy's Beer. Will it be remembered, gentlemen, as the Ben Roethlisberger-Willis Reed game, or just another Browns being the Browns trip to Heinz Field?
Just another chapter in the Ben Roethlisberger injury drama. I mean, it's just part of who he is. It's part of his persona. It's always who he is going to be. Now, I was doing the postgame show yesterday with Charlie Batch and Justin Hartwig. Justin filled in because we didn't know if Charlie was going to make it back in time from Palm Springs, but he managed to catch a red eye so he can come back and be part of the Super Bowl 40 ceremony. So we had three guys there, and Justin made an excellent point during the commercial break at one of the early stages of the show and said, you know, it is really hard to tell how hurt this guy is. You know, like, there's an actual tangible effect to all this media drama that swirls around Roethlisberger whenever he gets injured, and that is for the coaches, they got to figure out how hurt is he? And with a nebulous situation like this foot injury, as he had, you know, maybe they thought, okay, we've seen him have really bad ones before that he's tried to come back from, so we got to massage the time. And they said, give it another week. And he didn't need the other week. So maybe this is a part where the drama surrounding Roethlisberger's injuries work counter against him.
I think the biggest question is, why didn't he start? I mean, you know, if there's ever a time in the future where he doesn't get to practice during the week because of an injury but is okay by Sunday, there's never a reason to sit him again. Now, the Browns contributed that. They stink.
Oh, there's some Browns being the Browns moments in that game yesterday.
141 yards in pass interference penalties alone. I mean, they gifted them a lot of that. But still, at this stage of his career, Ben Roethlisberger does not need to be in there taking snaps on Wednesday and Thursday to be effective on Sunday, and yesterday was the perfect proof. And I think they made a major mistake in not starting him. I think it's because they were playing the Browns. They thought, because I think the carrot of the bye dangling in front of the next week was too much for them to turn down. Mm. They wanted to give him 2 weeks rest to be really comfortable heading down the six-game stretch drive, and thought they could beat the Browns with Landry Jones, which maybe they could have.
There's some merit in that, right?
Yeah, and maybe that's a brilliant plan. But you're not going to play the Browns every week, and I'm just saying that the next time that he can't practice during the week, if he's good to go by Sunday, let him go.
There would have been merit to it if you could have run the ball against the worst run defense in the National Football League. You could have beaten the Browns with Landry Jones if you could have run the ball to complement him, which it doesn't look like they could have if they needed to rely on the run. If Landry couldn't do what Ben Roethlisberger did against that pass defense, then they're going to have to run the football.
Well, see, that's the Browns being the Browns. They decided Landry was going to need to throw to beat them. We're going to put eight in the box. And then when Ben Roethlisberger came in, they made no changes.
They didn't adjust.
And
that's
they left
exactly
single
right.
coverage on the outside the entire game. How dumb can you be?
I talked to some of their media people. They've been so bad against the run, they were selling out to stop the run. They thought,
right.
But you're right. Once Ben goes in, you can't do that anymore.
Especially after the first drive, when you realize he can do most of what he usually can do. You know, if they needed to see the first drive as evidence that he could or could not throw.
I don't even care if it takes till halftime. I mean, if you really got to reconfigure things, then do something different in the second half.
Here's Mike Pettine, Browns coach, after the game. Did Big Ben affect your game plan? No. I don't know if their plan would have been that much different with Landry.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's
sakes.
A quote from an NFL coach.
You got to be kidding
How
me.
How dumb are these coaches? Del Rio the previous week. You got Coughlin totally blowing the Giants-Patriots game.
Well, he covering his own ass there, though, too. Just, you know, because of the way it worked out. If he said, yes, it did, and then you'd say, well, you didn't change anything, then he looks totally stupid.
I mean, I don't get it. These coaches that come in, you don't have Le'Veon Bell. The Steelers have two backup linemen. Has nobody seen the tape on Antonio Brown?
Well, as I said to Mike Grau yesterday in the pregame show, Ken, I was worried about their running game from the before the game even started because I thought they would rely on it more heavily with Roethlisberger out. D'Angelo Williams has never in his career had 25 touches in back-to-back games, ever, when he was 22, let alone 32. And he had 30 touches last week, 29 plus the two-point conversion.
With a swollen foot.
And he missed practice on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So what were you expecting him to get yesterday anyway, even if Landry Jones is the crowd? I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. With further ammunition to Mike Pettine is an idiot. The Browns are the Browns. But, you know, back to the quarterback debate. I was with you guys in terms of the pregame. Why would you dress him as the backup? It makes no sense. But as the game went on and we saw him move around, and I looked at Chow. Again, Tim, Dr. Chow at Pro Football Doc.
God.
Okay? And he says there was no risk of further injury if he played in the game. No significant risk of re-injury for Ben. The risk or aggravation and more pain, but not a long-term issue. So if that's right, and you can get away, as you said, Guy, with Landry winning the game. Winning is the most important, but Ben can play, and his health is sort of secondary, but he is limited a little bit. We've seen how he is when he comes back off injury and he's not 100%. I think Tomlin actually, it made some sense.
So what, this is the bridging the gap? Is this their new way about getting Ben around the whole he stinks when he comes back from injury thing? Is to have him be the backup.
Exactly.
And not play.
Unless we need him, or if we're losing to the Browns in the second half, then we'll put him in.
Wearing the shoulder pads, the helmet, like theoretically, what difference would that have made? I completely disagree. I think this is a commentary about how bad Mike Vick sucks.
Well, that's part of it. That's number three.
That's number one. If they had any faith whatsoever in Mike Vick to be the backup, they would have had Mike Vick be the backup, and they would have given Roethlisberger rest if they didn't think he could play.
True, but they shouldn't have
he
faith
in Vick.
He
either stinks, which I think he does,
yes,
or his hamstring is worse than what they're letting on, which I also think is true.
Either way, he stinks and should not have dressed. Do you think Vick should have dressed?
Then get rid of him. What's
okay,
he doing on your roster?
Fine. They basically have gotten rid of him. So then you have two quarterbacks.
No, he's still here. Get rid of him.
Well, he's here in name only. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he provides some kind of moral support.
Moral support. We're relying on Michael Vick for moral foundation.
Well, you got to have a third arm, and at this stage of the year, it doesn't make sense to bring somebody cold in that doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
I'd say bring back
practice.
The great Tyler Murphy.
Leave him back at third string for the rest of this year, then get rid of him.
But don't you think Landry would have been good enough to beat the Browns yesterday? I mean, I know we only saw him for a series.
I would hope, but then again, I don't know because I would think that Landry Jones would have had to be more heavily complimented by the run game. Because I don't think Landry Jones, in his best day, could have gone 387 and three TDs even against that football
team. Did you
team.
See him at Roosevelt Knicks on that first pass? That was precision, baby. Come on. That 10-yard pass out of the chute, Landry was hot. It was a big Oklahoma Sooners weekend, too.
Then they ran twice, and then they had a punt, and then they got the gift ball at the 12-yard line and got a field goal. Yeah. So I think they would have eventually won, but I think it would have been 20-17.
But I'm with you, though, Guy. I bet you Tomlin thought, we can probably get by with Landry.
Yeah, that has to be the thinking. That has to be the thinking. It doesn't make sense any other way.
And it worked.
But
I think Tomlin was a genius.
If you think you can get by with Landry Jones, then you don't bother dressing Ben.
Well, you think you can, but if things go poorly, he's there, break glass in case of emergency. Then we'll bring him in. Then we'll risk Ben's injury.
So you'd rather
wouldn't you admit Ben was a further risk of injury yesterday based on his lack of mobility?
Here, you know what? Forget the foot.
Did you think he had a lack of mobility? Did you watch him dance around when he had a move? I thought he moved fine.
I thought there were some times where he was obviously conscious of his legs and his injury. I thought there were some passes that he threw. If you watched him instead of the ball, you saw him hopscotch in the pocket a little bit, and there was some ghosting going on about what was or was not around his feet. I don't know how many of those turned into cutaways if we were watching on TV.
But I didn't really see that. And if it was, I think it was more mental than actually physical.
Well, okay, so maybe it was mental. But what I was going to say was if the risk of injury was really obvious, I think it was more for the knee than it was the foot. Because if he felt like he couldn't move and that knee was exposed by someone falling around, that's where the injury could have been much more severe. Not the foot, but the knee still coming off.
But I also think part of the thinking of going into the game is the fact that Ben dressed at less than 100% and a guy that didn't practice most of the week is how important that game was.
Very important.
That game, you think of a home game against a lousy Browns team that is ready to cash in to see. Now,
well, there you go. You can't just say we don't need Ben. I mean, that win.
They are 500
they win. Yeah.
Going into the bye with the four-game stretch that they have coming back, which keeps changing dramatically. Now Peyton Manning has plantar fasciitis.
Andrew Luck.
He's got a bad shoulder.
Did they really say plantar fasciitis?
Yeah, no, they did.
No, they didn't. They got torn.
They Jung Ho Gung?
No, not plantar fasciitis. It's torn.
Oh.
Yeah, so that stretch is looking a little different than it was maybe even 10 days ago. But still, I think it's their toughest stretch of the season coming up. If they lost yesterday, they were done. There's no way they're making the playoffs if they lost yesterday. I'm convinced of that.
But you just would have started Ben out of the gate.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, tell us what you think. SportsTalk@TribWeb.com. The quarterback plan, did it make any sense? And what do you remember most from this game? Was it the Roethlisberger putting the team on his shoulders or his gimpy foot and coming out and Willis? I guess Willis Reed started the game.
Willis Reed started and then went to the bench after the first two possessions. You got it the other way around.
All right, well, he's still famous for that. Ben, you have to give Ben his props, don't you, for being tough to play
absolutely.
Through this? I mean, you said it's all part of the drama of Ben, but this is to his credit, right? Not every quarterback, Jay Cutler and others, would have stomached it, would have manned up.
Oh, sure, he gutted it out. I'm not discrediting him that, but I do think there's a lot of merit to what Justin said. Justin was in that locker room with him, and Charlie Batch, who was his backup for 9 years, as he pointed out himself, didn't dissuade the conversation when it was brought up by Justin that this is just part of Ben's persona. This happens. When you talk about Ben Roethlisberger, you have to talk about the drama of every injury and how long he's going to be out and the espionage that goes into whether or not he's going to be able to play.
That's why we got Dr. Chow. We also have Mike Tomlin. Here's what Tomlin said at his post-presser about why indeed he started Ben Roethlisberger, slip of the tongue there, didn't start Ben Roethlisberger and started Landry Jones.
He perked up at the very latter part of the week. He spent the vast majority of the week rehabilitating. He had little to no in-helmet preparation in terms of what the game plan was. So we gave the start to Landry because he did. We felt comfortable with his overall readiness. We knew that we would have Ben available to us probably in a limited capacity just from a preparedness standpoint. We operated out of no huddle a little bit, brought the game to him. Whereas less game plan specific and more football 101, and we were able to operate in that fashion.
Was he at all limited physically, Mike, Ben?
I'm sure that he was, but obviously not enough to minimize his effectiveness.
Was Landry ever healthy enough to come back into the game?
I think he would have been had we needed him to, but obviously that circumstance is not ideal.
And that's Tomlin talking about Landry Jones, and he's right on the money in terms of Landry said he could have come back in the game, although Landry admitted it would not have been ideal. He was not able to move very well either. But, to see Tomlin in the tunnel, guy, we were standing there waiting to come into the Steelers room after, and he's talking to co-investor, co-owner Thomas Tull. That backup's pretty good. I might start him again next week. Tomlin, Tim, used the phrase perked up later in the week. Do you buy that? Ben perked up later in the week. That's why we came around to, we can get by with maybe putting him in a pinch.
Well, let's be real here. Ben said, we all kind of said, early last week he said, I might be able to go. I
steal
a lot. And Tomlin said on his press conference, I'll leave the door ajar. So let's,
That's true.
They said early in the week, Monday's in a boot and his foot's purple. Tuesday's already out of the boot, or Wednesday, and he's feeling a whole lot better. And he seemed very sincere yesterday when he talked about John Norwig and the work that they did to get him healthy.
So they actually told us the truth for a week, I guess. We've got to start paying more attention to these press conferences and reports from Adam Schefters and others. And the door was ajar, and he broke through it.
I think that the worst pain of my life is the new Jerome Bettis best shape of my life. Because he's had worst pain of his life now for the MCL, the foot, the aorta. The guy got hit by a car. All right, we're talking about the worst pain of his life here.
But this guy is tough. It's a shame that he has managed to have us all guffaw every time he brings up an injury. Like, he could be legitimately looked at as Superman. As somebody who just always comes back and toughs it out.
I was thinking about you're right. But I was thinking about writing about something like this for either our page or for Inside Pittsburgh Sports, but we do have to start talking about not only how tough he is, but also how lucky he is. Because let's just take the injuries as they were and apply them to the time that he missed. You know, Luis Castillo, 300 pounds, launched himself into his knee in the 2005 Super Bowl season, and he only missed three games. MCL this year could have been all the ligaments in his knee when he got hit by Mark Barron. Missed four games. You know, the great Dr. Chow, assuming that was a potentially season-ending and into next year,
yeah.
Liz Frank injury.
Yep.
He didn't miss a game.
Right.
He had to come out of a game, but he didn't miss a game total.
And you look at all
he
that.
He got hit by a car. All right? And he came. He had a bad year.
Yeah.
Appendectomy. All these things you're saying, oh, my God, he's so injury prone. He's also pretty freaking lucky. If you think, if you look
then he
at
managed
the,
to avoid
yes.
charges twice when he.
What?
he is Teflon.
He is lucky.
Yeah.
That's something else entirely.
But, yeah, but all the.
But I know what you're getting at, Ken. I mean, you would look at him as a guy who has come back from injury, who has played her. And I think part of that, I mean, his size and strength is part of what makes him lucky. He's not a fragile guy.
Yeah, he looks like Frankenstein's monster sometimes at this point with various parts that have been reattached. And you just say, well, it's Frankenstein. He can take it, he'll come back in and play fine. But you do have to give him his props for that. And there are so many healthy quarterbacks in this league that are mud, that are terrible. This guy's playing on one foot, and he's lighting up the Browns for 379.
He brought this on himself, and the stuff that Justin is talking about in the postgame show all originated long before Justin was a Steeler, or quite frankly, Charlie Batch had just become a Steeler again, too. It all originated with the ice water on the hand before the AFC Championship game in front of the TV cameras, the broken toes.
I forgot that one. Ice
like,
water
that's
on the
where
hand.
It started, okay? Then when Castillo launched himself into his knee the next year, his second year, yeah, that was legitimate stuff, but the foundation was set with the over-dramatization of the thumb, the broken toes, the coward dismissed publicly before all of our eyes.
He doesn't have broken toes.
Like, that's where it started. That's about,
that, when you think about it, is one of the most... He doesn't have
broken toes. Ben does that's not amazing. Have broken toes.
He's like Clemente, right? He's going to be remembered as a hypochondriac in a way.
But, that's a good word for it, yeah.
But yet, we've seen the injuries, as you say, Tim, and this year, the Mark Barron was certainly a legit one.
Yes, right, exactly.
Took a helmet on the knee.
Well, I don't know what you guys thought, but the quarterback on the other side of the ball yesterday impressed me. You know, and I got into some Twitter arguments.
What did I tell you last week?
People, I mean,
you mocked his 92-yard drive.
I thought he was tough. I thought he threw some good passes. When you have 188 yards in penalties and no running game, and the clowns around you that he doesn't have a whole lot to work with there. But he throws a better ball than I thought, and I thought he looked a little bit more polished than I expected him in person.
He threw for 372. Oh, by the way, 33 of 45.
Well, similar, though, do keep in mind, similar to the Steelers situation, he had to throw.
Yeah.
He did.
Not that everybody said, oh, the Steelers are backing off. They're letting him get the underneath. Be that as it may. I mean, we've seen other quarterbacks throw ducks when the Steelers, you know.
And how many drops did he have? Just plain drops from a terrible
receiver. Sacked six times.
Yeah.
You know, banged around. That run that I think should have been a touchdown, eventually, that was brilliant. That was great athleticism.
That was Jarvis Jones that let him go, right? Jarvis Jones was the one that had him and couldn't bring him down?
By the shirt?
Yeah.
Let me look at my notebook, Tim. I didn't laminate my pages yet.
It was definitely Jarvis. Who I thought Jarvis showed up every now and then in the game, but that was not a...
No, Jarvis had a pretty decent game. I'll give the outside linebackers credit. I ripped them pretty hard last week, and I thought they deserved it. But they did impact the game, while maybe not statistically, I thought they impacted the game quite a bit. I thought Moats was active. I thought Jarvis was around the ball. Bud, maybe not so much. But, you know,
it's a weird game to evaluate, right?
Because Tunch was kind of half apologizing for saying this, as he feels the need to do, but he didn't have to. It's true. Jarvis is going to get better and play better when James Harrison isn't there. There's no need to apologize for it. It's 100%
true. Yeah, but they were putting Chiccolo in there.
I mean, Chiccolo did get in sometimes, yes.
I mean, they were rotating the backers. I want to see the snap counts, but he played a lot.
I would imagine.
I got Jones and Cam Hayward with a hand on him. There were two guys that had a good shot at bringing him down.
But yes,
there.
You were right. That was a classic. Can I give you my laminated notes on the Browns being the Browns sequence?
I just love this. This made me so happy, this whole sequence. This was my favorite. This game was so bad, but so great at the same time. And this sequence was it.
Well, they got the leaping leveraging penalty on the field goal, which led to a TD. So there's your 4 points.
That was your foundation.
They got the fourth down penalty on the offsides that should have led to a TD, but didn't. They got the offsides on third down on their first defensive drive of the second half and a pass interference penalty on the same play.
Yeah, yeah.
So free play for Ben.
Throw
it downfield.
How many free plays?
And get the pass interference penalty at the same time. There was the ridiculous red zone sequence after Manziel got tackled.
Don't speed through this point by point.
Well, you might have it point by point better than
here, I have it.
It went all the way. It went from first and was it first and goal? Like first and goal from
the
1 foot line to first and goal from the 35.
And first of all, probably being robbed of a touchdown. I looked at the every time I looked at the replay, I thought he was in. I thought he deserved the touchdown. And then Crowell runs for a touchdown, which gets called back from a holding.
Yes.
Then they have an illegal formation. Then he gets sacked. That's your.
It was second and goal at the 25. To be
second and goal at the 25. All
and
right.
I saw
Friday night Penn Trafford in overtime, fourth and goal at the 20, throw a touchdown pass, but the Browns couldn't do that.
You can put up these polls on Twitter now, and I did my first one. You can only give two choices, but mine was. Better fun with numbers. A. Brown, 17 catches, 284 yards. The Browns, second and goal from the 25. I got over 100 votes, second and goal from the 25 won. As of this morning, it was winning like 60-40.
They also missed the point after touchdown when Ben threw the bad pick in the fourth quarter, and Benjamin dropped that short TD.
Oh, God.
So throw those on as the cherries on the sundae.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. Well, hey, if they score on that sequence there and then Ben throws the interception, they can get within, it would have been 24-17. I mean, it's a good thing that Mitchell comes up with, that was Mitchell's interception in between there, right, at the goal line.
Yeah.
If they get in there, that suddenly could have been a game real quick the way it worked out.
And not to diminish Johnny Manziel, but I'm going to diminish Johnny Manziel. They ran the ball 14 times for 15 yards. He had to throw. And he did a good job of evading the rush and keeping plays alive and –
yeah, but that's all the more reason it's impressive. He had a one-dimensional game, and he made it work pretty well.
Yeah, there are still times where I think him throwing on the run, he's not Russell Wilson yet. I mean, you just brought up a perfect example, that Mitchell pass, where he's throwing on the run, and he ended up throwing behind the receiver and right to Mitchell.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I'm not saying he's great, but in terms of that team and should he be playing now?
I thought he was out there on an island yesterday. He had little help anywhere else.
Wouldn't you keep playing him just to see if this develops?
Well, absolutely. I don't think it's a discussion anymore. I mean, now that he's shown that he can be capable against a team that may go to the playoffs. You're 2-8. What do you have to lose? This is a 6-game audition the rest of the way to see if you've got something that you can build a foundation from.
Oh, I see. But last week, I was out of my mind at 2-7 to suggest Manziel should play the rest of the year because he'd only shown 192 yards.
No.
I got it.
I was arguing that I don't think he's any good. That's the best I've seen him play.
If you watch the second half against Cincinnati, I mean, he was awful, Ken. That's
he was
what I
awful.
I was basing that on that. Now I've got a reason. I have done an about-face since what you said last week.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. Let's hear a little Ben Roethlisberger. We'll get to the mail. SportsTalk@TribWeb.com. Here he is.
Still sucks.
Did he come up? Was he drama-filled? It's the first I've heard this, actually, because I was in the room. Was Ben patting himself on the back?
I really don't know. I just saw a clip or two.
I want to hear. The hero yesterday, Superman.
Well, a lot of mental preparation. Wasn't a lot of physical. We let Landry get most of the reps. I did do some stuff throughout the week. It's in a situation like that, you just got to get as many mental reps as you can and count on the guys around you. That was the best part. I thought the guys around me played great.
At what point did you know that you would at least be able to be active today? I mean, most people were surprised at that. How close was it to even starting?
Yeah, probably just late in the week. You know, Coach and I checked in every day after the treatment and rehab and practice and whatnot. And it's his call ultimately. I just can tell him how I feel. And so he made the decision to go with Landry, who I thought was doing a great job. It's unfortunate he got hurt. But, you just have to be ready when your number's called.
Do you think that your abrupt entry into the game was just as much as a shock to Cleveland's defense as it was to the fans of you coming back in?
I guess, if you have to ask them. But, it feels good. Like I said, you're not expecting. I guess it's – I think this is maybe the second game I've ever been a backup. So it's not the I know how hard it is now, dealing with those guys. I've had a lot of great backups in my career, and I know now that it's not easy for those guys to do what they do. So a lot more respect for those guys.
Then as a quarterback and as a teammate, what have you learned from Landry this season?
He's a great football player. He's doing great things. He improves every single week. He is – above the shoulders, as smart and as sharp as a football player and quarterback that I've ever been around. I think that's a credit to his hard work and dedication, determination. He's always in the meeting rooms. He's always, you know, almost bugging our quarterback coach, Coach Randy, you know, because he's just constantly doing more and more. And I think it shows, because he stepped up when his number's been called and he's been ready to play.
Would you see him do better this week in preparing than maybe?
I think it's just a comfort. You know, the more you're in there, the more comfort you get with AB, with Martavis, with Marcus, Hebe, everybody, you know, and guys get more comfortable with where he's going to be in the pocket. So it's just an all-around comfort level.
Once you got into the game and started experiencing some contact, how did you feel physically? How did your foot feel?
Good. I got stepped on once, which hurt, but other than that, I felt pretty good.
Second week in a row, so much one-on-one coverage all over the field. Were you surprised they never got out of that, even though you just kept it up?
Yeah, I mean, they were doing some stuff, and we took advantage. You know, we saw some good matchups. I still missed quite a few matchups that I wish I could go back and, you know, left some stuff out there. We felt that we stopped ourselves a lot. You know, when we got stopped, it was because of us not doing something here, something there. And that's the way we always feel, that we need to go out there and say that no one's going to stop us. You know, the only time we get stopped is when we stop ourselves. And that's the mentality we always have to have. And I thought it was a great day by the line and everybody else.
I know how hard it is to be a backup now. That was my favorite line of that one.
Yeah, before I thought Charlie and Tommy had really easy jobs. But
I feel for those little guys that have to start as the backup quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger after the Steelers win. We're brought to you here on Mondays by Relax the Back Solutions for Pain. No matter what pain Ben has, he feels better, he works better, he lives better. Online at relaxtheback.com. Now selling the mattress of the future, the most comfortable bed you will ever sleep on, relaxtheback.com. We're brought to you by Duffy's Beer. Get to the mail in a minute, and we'll hear from Landry Jones a little bit later in the hour. But when he says we're stopping ourselves, guys, I can't help but now look ahead. I know we're looking back here, but bye week, six games, playoff picture, what are we seeing now?
Well, you go from not being in to having the top spot, and things worked out pretty well for them yesterday with the Raiders losing, to even though it was an NFC game. So at the moment, they're fifth, and I think we've thought all along that they fell so far behind Cincinnati, that's the best they can do. And if they finish fifth and have to play in Indianapolis with a banged-up Andrew Luck or no Andrew Luck, that's probably their best opportunity to go somewhere right now.
Or even Denver now, looking very vulnerable.
It does look like you might see a dip between the top two in Denver, what with Peyton Manning playing the way he's playing, or Brock Osweiler having to go in there and carry the load. But that Manning game was unbelievable. He completed 9 passes and 4 of them were to the other team.
That's amazing. I mean, I was watching the Patriots game and just heard the reports coming in.
He might be past Brett Favre, which I'm sure individually was something he wanted to do. He's number one on the all-time list now, and that might be it.
What is his prognosis that you guys said was torn foot?
Pro Football Talk said it was torn plantar.
Okay.
I would think he's done.
That is the ligament, right? The
plantar
fascia?
Yes.
We'll have to consult Joe Madden.
Get Chow.
I think it's a tendon.
Okay. Ligament tendon. And he'll be back? Could be back?
I didn't see the full story. Okay. I saw the headline literally as we were coming on.
He was battling it. It got worse. As the game went on, they then pulled him.
Kubiak apologized for playing him. He said he shouldn't have played him. He was too hurt.
It was like the anti-Ben game.
It's like watching Willie Mays play for the Mets. I just wish he'd get out.
Schefter says Eli Manning played with a torn plantar fascia in 2009. Peyton's is a partial tear, which is, however, more painful to play through. That's weird.
Paul Gasol had about the same injury for a basketball player, and he missed 6 weeks in 2013. So that's the rest of the regular season.
Okay. But anyway, as you pointed out there, Guy, like you're looking at Raiders, Jets, and Bills now for the wild card push, but am I crazy to think this team...
Well, you're crazy.
Well, you know that. The Steelers' offense, Ben is right. They only stop themselves with the talent they have. I don't know if everybody's going to be as dumb as to put single coverage.
They're
on these
second
guys
in the AFC
away.
In points now with a 12-point game to... is that what the Rams score was? 12-6,
12-6,
right?
Yeah.
And with all the rotating quarterbacks and the suspended running backs and receivers and the injuries to the and everything else, New England is the only team in the conference that has scored more than them through all of that crap.
Let's say Cincy would lose tonight.
How about the Patriots? Did you see how they won that game, too?
Yeah, I watched
God, did I ever?
Ugh.
So I said
the only game I had wrong in picking Pork, by the way.
3-1, another
and
nice
what
week.
Did I say? Didn't I say I thought the Giants could beat them and I didn't have the guts to take it? Damn it.
You were right. They didn't beat them.
They didn't beat them. That's right.
They just covered. But if let's say Cincy would lose the Monday night game and drop to 8-1. I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, Houston tonight. Steelers at 6-4. They play them one more time. Any chance you see a Steelers 5-1 or 6-0 run here? Could they get an 11-5, 12-4 record? I mean, do you feel that bullish about them here, the way they've come around the last few weeks? Or are there still too many questions?
No, I don't.
I just saw Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant running. And I said, this is one of the best teams in the NFL when they are rolling. These guys are incredible. The Patriots will have a tough time stopping them. Of course, you remember week one, Bryant didn't play. You get a rematch with New England in Foxborough. I'm not saying I would pick Pittsburgh to win. But they're going to put some points up on New England, right? Anybody in this league, they will. And therefore, I give them a chance to get a 5-1 finish here, especially with Indy down a quarterback. Broncos quarterback problems.
I think they're going to lose in Seattle.
How many ifs did you just put in that sentence?
Okay, a lot of ifs.
It's too many ifs.
I'm not ready to go pit and say they are going to win 5 of the next 6 and have a pizza bet on it.
Yeah, your deal there might have turned a little.
Ooh, yeah, I feel pretty good about that.
That was the pivotal game.
We'll talk college football later in the show. Chase is first in, though, today on the mound. He says, it is almost ludicrous, guys, that the Steelers are the top AFC wildcard team with 4 conference losses and only 1 division win. That is interesting when you think about that. There's their first division win yesterday. They're 1-2.
And they've had all 3 of their division games at home. That would have been the first time ever they lost all their division games at home.
I guess that speaks to the rest of the league stinks, you know, more so than they're good.
There are 3 good teams in the AFC, and they are maybe the best, second best of the next lot. Let's see what the Broncos look like with Osweiler, but at least their defense puts them on a higher tier.
Yeah, they were winning with their defense even when Peyton was healthy earlier in the year. He was never setting the world on fire.
But he was. Well, yeah, that's my point. Is, you know, they were winning with their defense. I mean, Peyton was healthy, but he stunk. So their defense is good enough to, I think, elevate them above where the Steelers are. You look at this wild card mix right now. I still think it's going to be the Steelers and one of the 3. AFC East teams after the Patriots. I don't know which one, but I still think it's going to be one of the 3 AFC East teams. I do think the Raiders, for as improved as they are, fall off and wind up as the last team out.
In the meantime, the Chiefs...
That Bills-Jets season finale could decide the other team beside the Steelers.
Yeah. It might decide the Steelers' fate, too, if you think about it.
I mean, a lot can happen. The Chiefs and the Raiders at 4-5 are not really out of the division race if the Broncos are this bad. I mean, if they crumble...
The Broncos have 2 losses?
Broncos are 7-2.
Boy, that's crumbling, though. I mean, that's...
I know, but they don't look very good here.
They're 4-4 to last... Or, I mean, 2-2 to last 4 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Super 5-0.
Well, I want to get this into before we hit the mail in full. Great cover shot on the Trib Sports section today.
Almost as good as Sky High. Almost.
not quite as good as Sky High.
Go reach around in front of the camera.
We put it in front of for the viewers on our stream. Chaz Palla with a terrific shot of the forward flip of Antonio Brown head over heels. Is it heels over head? Into the end zone. Script flipped is the headline. And Mike Tomlin said, when asked if he's okay with it, I am, judge it, end quote.
I'll judge it. You shouldn't be. Especially for a team that's had as many injuries as they have. You want your star receiver. Of any team right now in the National Football League that's going to lose a star player because he lands on his head doing a flip, which team would it be?
San Diego?
No, it would be this team.
Yeah.
It would be this team and...
The bigger risk is... And I even watched it like afterwards looking at how he landed. It's his ankles. You're off a tiniest little bit. Ben even said in his press conference afterwards, "Don't not to do it anymore."
Well, it's not that smart, but this guy seems indestructible right now, and all's well that ends well. And it was a fun moment, and it was a hell of a flip. And he has in 2 weeks caught 27 passes, which was too shy of the NFL record for a 2-game stretch. He is 4th all time.
Somebody asked him afterwards if he thought that Antonio was aware that he was too shy of the record and was. And Ben said, well, someone did say, he says, you'll have to ask him if he was aware, which we all know he was aware. but Ben said he knew someone said to him he needs two more. He said we're not. He said I'd give him one more shot in the end zone on that last pass interference. He said we weren't going to embarrass him and throw to him in the end zone or throw to him down near the goal line. So they knew what was going on, and I'm glad that they knelt on the ball.
Like that stat's not that important to me. Two game span of catches. It's kind of a weird stat anyway. Brandon Marshall has 28 catches over a two-game span. He's done it twice.
It's another baseball stat applied to football.
Yeah, and in the current era of the NFL where there's all these dinks and dunks, that's going to go away pretty quickly.
Well, I can't even stand stats that, like, he's hit safely in 28 of his last 34 games. So what?
Yeah.
That really doesn't mean anything either.
Well, but
that's a scoreboard stat.
Like, we mocked the 5-catch, 50-yard stat that he was accumulating that he no longer has. Gil the Barber had sent me a thing last week about he's got now a one-game streak of 15 catches and 250 yards or something like that. And then he sent me one yesterday, and he pointed out he might actually continue this streak. It's like truth is stranger than fiction. I guess now his streak is what? Two games of because yesterday Brown had 14 targets, 10 catches, 139 yards. He's got a 10-catch, 100-yard streak of two games. And that is an impressive streak, right? How long can he keep that up? 10 catches and 100 yards over a multi-week span. I think he's ascended past Ronda Rousey for the most exciting athlete in the country.
I was pretty excited when her mouth got busted open and she was passed out on the mat. That was pretty exciting.
Sure, you did.
You all right?
Moment. Yeah, I'm okay.
You sure?
Fixed.
I was surprised you even came to the stadium the next day. I wasn't sure if you'd be in mourning.
Did you send her flowers? Go to the hospital to comfort her?
You know, she hasn't shown me any love yet directly, so I'm not going to show her any back.
The still picture of right at the moment of contact is even better than any video of it.
That's one of the all-time shots.
Her face
shots,
is so distorted.
And I just saw the highlights. I didn't see it, but she failed to touch gloves before the match. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
She went like hard-ass route.
It was so – the whole 48 hours leading up to the fight, it was pretty clear that she was trying to manufacture.
I'm somewhat embarrassed that I work with guys that watch this, but that's okay.
Well, I didn't watch it. I just saw the YouTube clips
of it. I didn't buy the fight either. I saw what everybody else saw. But I did see the clip of the pre-fight weigh-in where she acted like Holly Holm and touched her face, and she decided to go all WWE or Mike Tyson at the weigh-in and tried to start a fight at the weigh-in. And it was just clear that she was not into this, and she was trying to psych herself up. When you say about a week before the fight that you're going to go away for a while after the fight, you're obviously not in it. And maybe she didn't train as hard or what, but she just got the shit kicked out of her.
She'll be back. This will boost ratings for the next one.
It wasn't just the kick to the head, by the way. Did you see when
she
girl
took some real shots?
Yeah, the girl tried to punch her and missed, but ended up getting her
with her forearm
and her elbow.
Yep.
It probably did more damage than the punch that would have landed.
Well, as Rocky once said, it's not about how hard you hit, Tim. It's about how hard you can get hit and get back up again the next time.
And let's see if this sequel is as bad as some of the Rocky sequels that have existed.
You going to go see Creed?
I might. Well, Creed is getting fantastic reviews.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, baby.
It's supposed to be the film of the year.
When's it open?
Wow.
December 1st?
No, Thanksgiving, right?
Oh, baby.
It's Thanksgiving, I believe.
I'm a sucker for Rocky movies.
I'll go see Creed. Yeah, I'll definitely go see Creed. Just so long as it's about the kid and not about Rocky. I wish they didn't even put Rocky in there.
Oh, you got to put him in there.
I wish that Stallone had produced it and maybe put himself in at the end or something. But it looks like there's going to be too much Rocky in this one, too. If it had been more about just the kid, I'd be all in.
Here's Sam emailing the show. He says, Tomlin almost pulled a hurdle with his lineup yesterday, guys. However, Tomlin's plan worked. His logic is totally flawed. They said Jones started because he got the most reps in practice. I don't believe Ben needs to practice a ton throughout the week. So you're telling me Ben's not healthy enough to start over Landry, but Ben is at 70% better than Landry at 100%. I don't like that a hobbled Ben dressed, but they were lucky and he didn't get injured again.
There was a lot in there. Let's surf through.
There was a lot. I think he went to both sides of it.
Yes, he did.
I still think that there is a good question. Tomlin looks like a genius, but I don't think he was.
No.
Because we don't know what would have happened had Landry Jones stayed in there. The first two series were very unimpressive. They got one first down and had a punt, and the second one they were given the ball on the 12-yard line and had to kick a field goal. Would the rest of the day continue to go like that?
Yes, it's the Browns.
When you are sitting on an important game like that with your best quarterback, perfectly healthy, but close to perfectly healthy, but he didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday. This isn't the junior varsity and the kid's in eighth grade and he didn't practice.
It's the Browns.
The guy's been
they
in the league
lost.
For 11 years. He's won Super Bowls. He could miss two practices.
The sure sign of genius would have been, I know my player. I've been around him long enough. Even though he wants to make it more difficult than humanly possible to figure out how healthy he is, I can see through that, and I know he's healthy enough to start, so I'm starting him. I would have been more impressed by that than them stumbling into this. Because Landry Jones got his ankle rolled up, they were forced to do this. It worked out. That doesn't mean it's the right move. There's a difference. Sometimes things can work out. It doesn't mean it's the right move.
Sometimes you got to give Tomlin credit. He was a genius in this case.
No, he wasn't
I'm supporting
a genius.
Him. Yes, he was.
How is he a genius?
I just laid it out to you. Three criteria.
So he's
an injury backed him into looking smart.
Yes, exactly. He's a genius because Landry Jones got stepped on.
No, Landry would have beaten the Browns. They've lost 12 in a row here. I mean, have we not seen this movie for a dozen years? They stink.
Yeah, Tommy would have beaten the Texans, too. I mean, like, you know, we can make these assumptions, but...
As bad as the franchise opening Texans were, the Browns are worse. This email from Matt. Jagoff of the week is Antonio Brown, guys, for Tim being a...
Jackwagon.
Thank you. And doing a front flip into the end zone, which proves he is not a team player. Totally uncalled for, and Tomlin should have chewed his ass out, but I doubt he did.
Why wasn't it a penalty? I thought that stuff was penalties now.
Well,
is that just in college?
Cabali said if he had done it when he scored, it would have been a penalty, but because he started the flip a half yard before the end zone, it was not a penalty.
That's
I
difference.
Thought it was the other way around.
Well, that's it wasn't celebrating. It was his act of getting into the end zone.
Yeah, so it's hard to like,
I thought you had to be
that.
Contested.
Oh, I don't know.
See, I thought you had to be contested to do that. In fact, I think he's got that backwards. I think you can do the flip, but...
In the end zone after you score?
No, I don't think that's celebration.
So, yeah, but you can celebrate. You just can't be involved with another team
when
you do it.
That's orchestrated. You can't have an orchestrated
celebration.
No, you
can't celebration. Use a prop. I thought you could... You can't use a prop.
If he did a flip after scoring a touchdown, he'd be penalized.
I think guys... Well, I don't know if it's about a rule book or just officials' feel of what's unsportsmanlike and what's not.
Well, like Collinsworth said last night, they have to take some of these things and make them objective and subjective. No, Chris, the more objective they try to make it, the more subjective it ends up becoming. And he was talking about catches, but I'll apply it to the end zone celebrations too. The other one that confused me from a referee point of view is, why was Manziel allowed to stay in the game?
Oh, with a concussion?
No, when he got his helmet ripped off, when he got the face mask.
Yeah.
Why are you allowed to stay in the game?
You mean Motes?
But it doesn't matter if it's a penalty against the Steelers. It shouldn't. Because if you're a defensive lineman and you get cut and you're on the ground and you're holding your knee, but you decide you're okay, you're not allowed to stay in the game after the game's been stopped. If you're a receiver and you catch the ball and you get blasted in the head and you kind of shake it off and you're okay, but they still threw the flag, if the trainers came out, you got to leave for a play. Why was he allowed to stay in the game?
I forgot that play. It's not the face mask play.
Yes, it's the face mask because he said I lost my contact. Remember, he pointed his eye.
Yeah.
And then they said stay down.
It was an equipment timeout. That's why. Because of losing the contact lens.
So an equipment timeout can keep you on the field.
Yeah, I mean,
an injury timeout can't keep you on the field.
If he would have came up and not lost the contact and they would have had to sit out. But I'm. They called it
Did they say equipment? I didn't hear them say equipment.
When the referee made the announcement.
I'm sure Motes would get fined for that.
Or maybe it was the PA guy in the press box. I heard that announcement. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, equipment, I guess that's a difference and it makes sense. But, you know, they've got that rule in college now where you don't have to leave the field. They've drawn the differentiation where if a penalty causes the helmet to come off, you don't have to leave. But if the helmet comes off on its own, you have to leave. I would think in football it'd be the same way, right?
His helmet didn't come off on the play, though, did it? He just got twisted around.
Well, no. The helmet is a college rule. It's not an NFL rule. I'm saying, like, if it's an act of a penalty in the NCAA, they've drawn a line of differentiation. Here, if you are stunned for a moment and you don't have to leave the field, I would think that they would put that similar rule in, but they don't want to. But they will for equipment. There's a disconnect there.
Didn't matter. The Browns punted anyway, as the Browns always do. Dan Fouts called him an owl on that play, I guess. His head turning around like an owl. That's a good line. With the exorcist.
Yeah, that was dangerous.
Matt also throws a dig in at me. To your standards, Ken, I guess the Giants had a moral victory yesterday. Now, see, people just want to trash my moral victory. But Pitt lost to Iowa, and it has truly been a moral victory as they have continued on the road to 9. So you jackwagon, Matt.
Or they could have just won the game.
Watch with pleasure as Pitt wins 9 and I get a free pizza from Giovanni's.
Louisville wins.
Since I wasn't in on the bet against you, could I have a slice?
Absolutely.
Do you like veggie pizza?
You've been nice to
that,
me, guys.
Is that, it's not my favorite, but I'd
too much grass on your pizza there.
As I said before, I would eat the dust behind the refrigerator at Giovanni's.
I had a late-night piece of Giovanni's the other night. That was perfect. Walking across the bridge.
I can never eat one piece of pizza. Two I could do, but I can't eat just one.
Perfect timing. Cooled off a little bit as I was walking across the bridge. By the time I got to my car, perfect for the ride home.
Jeff in Illinois. Great win by the Steelers, guys. I was nervous with Ben out there, but he was solid. An injured Ben is still better than Peyton Manning. And Antonio Brown does need to stop being a dumbass. $2 signs for the S's with that flip. He is going to get hurt. That was a true show-me-the-money moment, Jerry Maguire style, wasn't it? Do you
sure
think that's contract-related?
100% showboating. That's all that was.
We'll hear from Antonio a bit later in the program.
Mark. Oh, God, the Giants are still leading the East at 5-5. Wow. The NFC East is it's very much equivalent to the AFC South.
That was such a disturbing game to watch for people who were rooting against the Patriots, like I'm sure most of us were, or our listeners were. I will say, though, if the Patriots had lost, would it have made any bit of a difference? I mean, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, if the Patriots wouldn't – they're unbeaten, so nobody wants to see that, I guess, the road to possibly going 19-0, but – if they had lost, it's not like they're any less dangerous or threatening or they're not going to lose their division. I mean, that game really didn't matter that much.
Not a bunch because it would have been an NFC loss for an AFC team. But when are the Bengals going to lose? You know, it matters.
Well, that's true.
It matters insofar as I'm sure Andy Dalton would rather play Tom Brady in Cincinnati than the other way around. Now, maybe the Patriots still win that game. I'd probably still pick the Patriots to win that game, but I wouldn't feel as good about it as if I did if Andy Dalton was going to Foxborough for an AFC championship game.
Yeah, you're right about that. I guess with Denver losing, that thought had crept out of my mind that the Patriots could be challenged for the one seed, but the Bengals could still challenge them. Broncos, by the way, play the Patriots in 2 weeks, and then they play the Bengals on late December, so in addition to the Steelers. So Denver has a very tough schedule with Brock Osweiler set to quarterback here possibly for a little bit.
Yeah.
Mark B. emails, the Steelers were concerned about Ben getting hurt. Damn near all of their plays on offense, he was in the shotgun. Does Ben really need a game plan, though, to start and beat the Browns?
That's what Tomlin was, in essence, saying. We're going no huddle. There's a package for the no huddle. He knows what it is. He can call the plays. So-and-so gets open, and Ben tries to find him.
Yeah, well, that's part of my reasoning, though, for his injury risk was increased because they couldn't run it as much. He wasn't under center. The playbook was altered. So by definition, he was in more harm's way to come in there and play, which is why they tried to avoid playing him.
And frankly, being under center might have been harder for him to do.
And he did it a couple times. But
taking the snap and
backing up.
Yeah,
totally. Rarely a Monday without the killer chihuahua weighing in, and he gets his email in here today, brought to you by Duffy's Beer. As Pittsburgh fans, guys...
His email's brought to you by Duffy's Beer?
Well, Chihuahua has his own sponsor. His own segment.
All of our emails are brought to you by Duffy's Beer.
It should be invisible fence for Chihuahua, should it not?
As Pittsburgh fans, the killer writes, we bitch too much about celebrating after big plays and coaching decisions. Can you imagine the frustration of what it must be like to be a Browns fan or any fan of Cleveland teams, for instance? No championship of any kind for over half a century. Anytime one of the teams have come close, they've failed, and many times in spectacular choking fashion. The most loved team moved and then won 2 championships in Baltimore. The local hero left and wins championships. They had who is now considered the best coach in football, and they hated his guts. Cleveland fans have been tortured with cruel and excessive punishment. I don't like it. I love it, says the killer. It's a good point. We do bitch about flips a little too much on a Monday afternoon.
Speaking about coaching decisions here for a second, kind of a funny moment in the press box yesterday. Our good friend David Todd was not in attendance at the game yesterday. He did the post-game show and then...
Did not manage his alarm clock time right.
I don't know. No, because he did the post-game show from Stage AE. I don't know why he didn't stay, but he didn't stay for whatever reason. But he was tweeting during the game, so I know he was watching the game. But Justin Hartwig was sitting next to me because even though he's a former Steeler, I guess they couldn't find a spot for him in the press box, even though he's doing the post-game show.
He had to squat.
So he's sitting in David's seat. David usually sits right next to me during games, and Justin is sitting there. So the Steelers call the first timeout, right? And, of course, everybody in the press box just looks to where David's seat normally is to see if there's approval or disapproval of the timeout being called. And Justin said, why'd everybody just look at me?
That's funny. Who's laughing now, O-line?
I said, Justin, this Justin is where you're Hartwig. Supposed to second-guess the play calling. Just do it. Say something.
James emails, he says, Johnny Football may well have showed potential, but then again, so did Tim Tebow. One still wonders if he'll be with the Browns next year or if he'll continue to behave himself off the field and playing in the league, period. Yeah, I guess that, well, did Tebow show promise ever? He did beat the Steelers in that playoff game.
Playoff game he did.
But were people thinking after the game, oh, this Tebow's got it?
You know, one thing that was similar to Tebow in
You're
that game.
You're talking about Denver and Cleveland. It's a completely different dynamic.
Well, that Denver team was pretty bad, though. I mean, it was pretty average.
But you're talking about an organization that's going to find its way out of a hole with a different quarterback.
Yes, organizationally, of course. But the thing that I thought was interesting in comparison between those two guys yesterday, did you notice for the first time in a long time there was a quarterback that was willing to go after Willie Gay? You know, we've, like I said before, accidentally it's turned into Gay Island. Nobody wants to go after Willie Gay because going at Antoine Blake or Ross Cockrell is so much easier to do when Cockrell goes into the nickel.
They were kind of attacking Cockrell more yesterday, huh? Or it was hard to
they
tell.
They were, but he was not afraid to go after Willie Gay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Willie
I got
Gay
a feeling he dropped back, ran around, and threw wherever somebody was open.
Yes,
I don't think he
exactly.
was attacking anybody.
Exactly, and that's what Tebow did in the playoff game. He went after Ike. But other teams said, oh, Ike's a pretty good cornerback, but these other guys, they suck. One of them was Willie Gay. They suck. Let's go after these other guys. So they would go after the other guys, and Ike built up this reputation of being a really good corner when he was okay. But on film, it's like nobody ever threw at him. Receivers must be covered. They weren't covered. The other guys were just easier to find. But Johnny Manziel, to your point, was just running around trying to find somebody. And sometimes it was Willie Gay's guy, so he threw over there. I mean, that's the most I've seen Gay targeted in a long time.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, you talk about bitching about a flip and Chihuahua outlining the Browns' problems. Listen, they have had, when you think about how bad they are, and we complain because the Steelers waste a third-round trip pick on Dree Archer, their draft choices.
Oh, my God.
In 2012, they had the third and 22nd pick, and neither guy's with the team.
Yeah.
Trent Richardson and Brandon Wheaton. 2013, Barkevious Mingo, who stinks. 2014, Justin Gilbert, he's done nothing, and Johnny Manziel, who we're waiting on. That is five first-round picks in 3 years, all at least 22 or higher, and none of them are doing anything for them.
And how Cam Irving looked to you yesterday?
Oh, he was getting mauled, huh?
Has he gotten
first start?
Cam Hayward's cleats
Cam
off
Hayward.
His chest yet?
That's
not?
A tough debut for any rookie. Got to say that.
Of all the plays that took place yesterday...
Danny Shelton looked good with
what's his name
jumping on his back and getting the penalty on the field goal.
Now, he made some plays yesterday, though. I mean, he at least did some positive things.
Those two guys are still on the team and playing, Tim, which is which is an improvement over most of the guys.
Again, by comparison, yes, absolutely. But Irving was just—he was pushed around yesterday. I mean, Tua did it to him once as well, and that was my favorite play of the entire game. Was after the Steelers scored the touchdown. When they screwed up, they had them pinned back, they missed the fourth down, they had them pinned, and the Steelers went one timeout, two timeouts, three timeouts. Great clock management. Cleveland had to punt, they end up scoring, and then they kicked the ball back off, and there's one snap. Cleveland had one snap to decide if they were going to get something and give it a shot or not. They handed it off, and that running back got destroyed by Cam Hayward after he ran through Irving.
Back to your mocking their draft picks guy, the Trent Richardson pick, they traded to Indy, got another first-round pick, and used it for a package to trade up to get Johnny Manziel at number 22. So I don't know if that's good work or not, but I guess Manziel is sort of – that's sort of the Richardson pick. But it was three overall, so it's hard not to say that's a bust. By the way, they're playing Baltimore off their bye week. Those teams may be vying for the first pick in next year's draft.
You almost – them losing at home, that's the first home win for or road win for Jacksonville since 2013 because of a penalty on the a face mask penalty on the last play of the game. And it's still a 53-54-yard field goal and they lose. Oh, man, is that sweet.
Hey, speaking of cornerbacks who built up a reputation and never had the ball come their way, anybody catch Richard Sherman last night? Made me feel a little bit better about going to Seattle.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Seattle is no longer a team to be feared, are they? I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy trip out there. What's their record now? 4-6?
Larry Fitzgerald wound up with 130. Michael Floyd wound up with 113. The Seahawks are now 4-5, 2-2 at home.
4-5. I don't know. I'm seeing a window of opportunity here for the Steelers to win 10 or 11.
God, Cam Chancellor made 20 tackles last night.
Chuck and Bethel Park from the Don't Mock Plantar Fasciitis Department. Former Bucco and Oakland A's prospect Andrew Lambeau lost all of 2015 with plantar fasciitis.
I'm not mocking it. I had it. It freaking hurts like hell. It sucks.
Yeah, but do we think Lambeau really had it? I mean, come on.
I don't know, Joe Madden. What do you think?
To Frederick, Maryland.
I think Lambeau had a torn cartilage in his knee.
Brian in Frederick, Maryland, is pointing out the play you brought up, Tim. The play at the end of the second quarter where Hayward absolutely destroyed and embarrassed Cameron Irving at the line to make that tackle was unbelievable. Cameron Hayward is turning into a total beast.
He's their team MVP this year so far, in my opinion.
Boy, that's a statement.
Team MVP.
More so than A.B. or Ben?
Well, I mean, A.B., how many games in a row did he kind of take off because he didn't have the quarterbacks with him?
Yeah, but when he won the game against the Raiders single-handedly.
Hayward didn't look good in that game.
That was the one bad game I would say Cam Hayward had.
Yeah.
Plus, he had to, you know, before the game, they asked him to help take down the birthing suite that had been built at Heinz Field just in case. So, I mean, he had a lot on his mind.
It's true.
That was an interesting that locker room wasn't overly joyous last weekend, even though they beat the Raiders. They were pretty giddy yesterday. I thought that was one of the – they were willing to talk about almost anything and everything yesterday.
It's always a fun locker room when you win going into a bye. Like, we're going on vacation for a week.
You win two in a row going into a bye. I mean, 2 weeks ago they're 500, and really there's a lot of questions. Where the hell are they going?
Plus, they're all in a good mood because all the Super Bowl 40 guys were back. Were they hanging out in the locker room for postgame too, some of those guys, or no?
Not really. Kiesel was in there, I think, for a little bit. Tim emails, he says, with respect to taking a knee at the end of the game, guys, Chuck Knoll once said, I didn't see anyone waving white flags over there. Should the Steelers have run it up to get Antonio Brown his 29 catches over
the
two-game
span? I say
no.
As much as I respect Chuck Knoll, I say no.
They wouldn't have done it for anybody else. If Martavis Bryant had been on the verge of some sort of record or some sort of statistic.
They would have for Hines Ward if he needed his 1,000th catch.
Well, that's true. It's got to be a veteran that Tomlin likes. If it's a veteran that Tomlin likes, then he'll do crap like that.
Hmm. Plus, he needed two at that point. I mean, they threw for the – so it's impossible to get him two more catches if they throw a touchdown.
Batch said yesterday on the air, and he's 100% right, that you know, this thing with Peyton Manning yesterday was very similar to Hines catching his – record, getting his 1,000th catch.
Oh, like it was kind of sad at the same time as it
was. Yeah, exactly. It was pathetic while at the same time an accomplishment.
Ben emails, hey, Ben's, the fact that Manziel was allowed to stay in the game after that face mask makes perfect sense, actually. Why should the defense be rewarded for trying to pop a quarterback's head off?
I'm not debating that, but I'm saying it's inconsistent with what's on the table already. Because you could say the same thing about a wide receiver or a defensive lineman. Why should the offense be rewarded for cut blocking a defensive lineman? Why should the defense be rewarded for taking a headshot on a receiver?
Yeah, but in this case, if Manziel's not...
So it's equipment. If equipment comes into play, then you can have a timeout and stay on the field. But if it's injury due to a penalty, you can't? There's a disconnect there.
Well, that's so you don't fake an injury to get a timeout.
You could always fake a contact. What if I don't even know Johnny Manziel wears contact lenses?
Yeah, you
can
always say I lost a contact when you don't wear them. That's true. That's actually a good idea.
Dixon sent us the verbiage from Article 3. When an injury timeout is called, the injured player must leave the game for the completion of one down. The player will be permitted to remain in, though, if A, either team calls a team timeout, or
which
B,
they didn't.
B, the injury is a result of a foul by an opponent, which in this case... the injury was a result of a foul by an opponent, Arthur Motes.
Okay, but I've never seen that in any other game where a player is hurt with an illegal hit, stays on the field, nurses himself back to health, and then is allowed to stay on the game. I've never seen that. In fact, I've seen the opposite, where a player late in a game has been popped, woozy. I think it happened to Hines once. Was popped, woozy, kind of stayed on the field. And they called timeout to keep him in. Mm. You've seen it with quarterbacks before. Romo. It happened to Romo not too long ago.
Was it a foul, though? Was it a flaggable penalty? Maybe they didn't put a flag on it and he was woozy, you know?
I thought it was a penalty. I thought it was a late hit on Romo like a year ago. Last year, a year before that.
When did that happen? Third quarter?
Second quarter. The face mask?
Yeah.
I believe second quarter. All right, that's commercial-free hour in the books. Thanks to Dixon, by the way, for going Article 3 on us here in hour. Now, these are the tremendous emailers that we have here on the Duffy's Beer Morning Show.